Our scripture readings this morning are going to come from Psalms chapter 33, verses 12 through 22, and Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. So if you would grab a Bible and open to page 870 and read with me from Psalms 33, verses 12 through 22. This writes, "Blessed is the nation whose God is Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place he watches over all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. For no king is saved by the size of his army, and no warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance, despite all its great strength it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord on those who fear him, and those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. But we wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our heart rejoices, for we trust in his holy name. So may your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you." Our second reading from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, down on page 1874. The Hebrew writer writes, he writes, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. For this is what the ancients were commended for. For by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." Well, this is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Now, I got a message scripture that we're going to read here in just a second, but I want to make sure everybody opens one of the Bibles in the pew. And if you have a pen or a pencil, put it in your hand. And I'm going to have you do something that some people think is sacrilegious. I want you to underline verse 32 of Luke 12. Because this is going to be very important. Page 16, 18, Luke 12, verse 32. And I'm going to read that verse to you right now. It says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." You all find it?
Yep.
We get it underlined? I want you to hold your Bibles open to that point. Just for a minute. And then I'm going to read verses 32 through 40. Listen to it again as I read. "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed and ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. Will it be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes? I tell you the truth. He will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds him ready, even if he comes in the second or the third watch of the night. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. And you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him." Let's pray for a minute. Heavenly Father, help us to understand your will in our lives and your word this morning. Guide us and keep us in all we do in Christ. Amen. You ever feel like you spend your whole life just waiting on other people? Let's have some hands. Come on, be honest about this. Or maybe you're on the other side of the equation, you know. Are you one of those people that somebody else is always waiting, telling you to hurry up and get ready? Come on, I know there's a few of you out there. When I thought about this in this scripture, I thought about parents. You know, they often, they live lives in one long cycle of hurry up and wait. And we all get the feeling that way, don't we? I was thinking about this, and I got thinking when our kids were still young and they were home and still going to school, I think the many times Bonnie would be constantly nagging at him. Hurry up, will you get ready? The school bus is on its way, it's coming pretty soon. And the kids would be standing there, they thought they were all ready, be standing there waiting, watching out the window, waiting for that school bus to come. Then the school bus would come, the kids would run out, and they'd get to the door of the school bus, and undoubtedly every morning, one of them would turn around and head back to the house because they forgot something. Leaving that poor bus driver sitting there waiting. They'd run back to the house and they'd find their mother all nervous because now she's afraid one of these kids is going to miss the bus. She's going to have to haul them off to school. When I thought about that, you know, kids can be forgiven, but when we're adults, we have a hard time with that, don't we? We need to learn how to be ready. So I think in today's gospel reading in Luke, Jesus is trying to prepare his disciples to carry on his work. And he's been trying to help them to get ready and to warn them not to miss the bus. But they, like my children, really, they just don't understand what it meant to get ready, down, did they? So how many of you were here last week when we were down in the park? What did we talk about? We talked about the parable of the rich fool, didn't we? And we talked about how greed controls our lives and how we often forget that all of our material wealth, it's just stuff, right? We talked about it. And we also learned that based on the Bible says, what we learned about foolishness, and we could define a fool as someone who lives only for themselves or only for the moment. But in these verses, Jesus is trying to remove our greed and our worry and focus our minds on the future which God has planned for us. So in fact, that's really the whole central message of Luke 12. So that's why today I wanted to challenge each and every one of you to commit to memory this verse 32 from chapter 12. But before we really look at this again, let's just put this whole chapter 12 in concept. So in verse 1, it tells us that Jesus is really popular now. He's being followed by thousands of people. The first verse will tell you. I'll tell you, there's so many people, they're trampling on one another. And so as he's walking out, as he's getting prepared to go out, you know, this would have been a great time for Jesus to give a fire-breathing sermon, to do some miracles or anything to wow this crowd. But what's he do instead of talking to the crowd? He talks to his disciples. He turns to his disciples. And what's he say? He says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." I want you to all read this with me. Memorize this. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid.
Do not be afraid.
Little flock.
For your Father
has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Let's say it one more time together, the whole thing. We're going to memorize it. We're going to believe this. And we're going to be able to share it when we leave here. Don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Think about this now. Jesus knows about his arrest and his execution. He knows all this is going to happen. He knows that his disciples are going to become really enemies of the state. They're going to have a tough time. Their lives are going to be in danger. And they're going to be imprisoned. And some of them are going to be martyred. So if they really need to persevere through all that's going on, they truly need to believe this verse now, don't they? They need to be able to see the future. Well, I titled this as going, as looking through Jesus' eyes. So now, today, imagine if you could see your future through Jesus' eyes. What's it going to look like? Because he already knows. He already knows what he has planned for you. He already knows what you're going to do. I mean, what questions would that answer about what's happened to you in your lives? But I know one thing. If we could all see our own future through the eyes of Jesus, that what's the first thing we memorize here? We wouldn't fear now, would we? There wouldn't be any need to fear. Because we've been saved by grace through the forgiveness of our sins by Jesus' death on the cross. We read the psalmist wrote, he says, so we should be able to wait in hope, right? He's our help and our shield. We should be sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, like the Hebrews writer wrote. When I think about all this, I had to come up with a way of visualizing this. So I found a story on the internet. It was about a betting site in Australia. They had one of these where you can bet on horse races and stuff. And so, but they had a little computer glitch. So come to find out, you could bet on past horse races. What's that mean? Well, you can be a winner if you know the outcome. They're broadcasting old stuff. Well, some people, they took advantage of this. They bet a little bit of money and they'd win a little bit of money. So little that the people running the website didn't notice. Until one guy, he decided he was going to bet big. So he bet big, figured, why not? What risk do I have? So he bet big, won a lot of money. Of course, the website owners, they realized this and ended up shutting down the website. But think about that. Isn't that exactly what Jesus is telling his disciples here? I already know your future. Isn't that what he's telling us? He already knows our future. So we don't need to fear. Got doing a little research, and I got thinking about this. If we see this future through Jesus' eyes, we wouldn't have a chance. We wouldn't have to worry about fear. We could bet everything we had on our lives, couldn't we? We could bet everything we had on Jesus because we'd already know the future. That's why in the beginning of this verse it says, do not be afraid. I started counting up how many times I found do not be afraid in the Bible. Every time, I don't know. I got to about 50 and I quit counting. It was like, it seems like whenever you look at it, you see do not be afraid in the Bible is when God is telling us something, or an angel of God, or Jesus. They usually start out with this. I mean, it's like saying hi. When God says hi, he says, do not be afraid. It'd be like coming up to everyone just saying, how you doing today? God's telling us, hi, do not be afraid. And yet we're always afraid no matter the moment we'll walk out our door each morning, aren't we? Seems like we let fear control us. And usually the first thing God says to us, or Jesus says to us, I know your future. I got you. I'm your hope and your shield. Do not be afraid. So Jesus is really telling us to wait in hope now, isn't he? To be sure of what we hope for. What do we hope for? What do we know that he's going to supply? He's going to supply us the riches of his kingdom. What are the riches of his kingdom? So I start writing them down. The riches of peace with God. riches of eternal life, or the fruits of the Spirit like love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are all the treasures that won't ever wear out. They'll never fail. So what's the first thing he's teaching us in this passage is, don't fear. Do not be afraid. The second thing he's teaching us in this passage, so if we could see through his eyes, he says, we'll let go of the things that control us. How's he say? He just says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There's an old story about a court jester that I found. And the nobleman he served, he gave him this magic wand. And it was to help him to keep from making foolish decisions. So the jester, held on to this wand, but he listened to the instructions of the nobleman, and the nobleman, and when he had given it to him, he says, so if you find somebody that's more foolish than you, you can give it to them. So he's hanging on to the wand. Well, time goes by. All of a sudden, the nobleman, he comes down and he's sick and he's in his bed and he's dying, and he calls his jester to him and he says, I'm going to go on a long voyage. And the jester looks at him in his weakened state and he says, well, for how long? Well, the nobleman said, forever. So the jester looks at him and says, So have you prepared to go? The nobleman says, well, no, I haven't prepared anything for the journey. He says, here's your wand. But you're far more fooled than I. Think about this. When we prepare, when we all know that this world is going to come to an end, our life's going to come to an end at some point, we have to make sure that we're not the fool. We have to make sure that we are prepared. Make sure that you provide purses for the poor, that you share with others in this life so that they can be prepared to go. So that we all may know that God's kingdom is ours and he wants to give it to us. How do we prepare? It's in service, isn't it? I thought about this. He says, so in order to prepare, he says, we see the future of your size. What does he say? So he tells us that we need to be ready. How do we be ready? We have to be dressed, ready for service. And he says, keep your lamps burning like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. And it will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Now, pay attention, because I tell you the truth, he says, he will dress himself to serve. Who will dress himself to serve? Not the people waiting, but the master when he comes back, right? He's going to dress himself. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the Lord. He's talking about Christ. So when we accept Christ in our lives, he dresses himself to serve. Think about how this verse, so many times we miss it. He serves us, right? He says he comes to serve us. Hard one, really grabs, isn't it? Says he will dress himself to serve and will have them recline at the table, and he will come and wait on them. Can you imagine that? Lord Jesus, who died on the cross, forgave us of our sins, that same Lord and God, the Father, the Holy Spirit, is going to come back, and one day, when we accept him, he's going to say, you need help today? Let me help you. Let me wait on you. We can't outdo him. If we see the future through his eyes, we know exactly where we're going to end up. When we come in God's presence, we're going to be perfect in his sight. It's by Christ's blood that we're going to have here today when we take communion. We're going to celebrate because he forgave our sins. He gave himself so we might have forgiveness, so we might be with him. So think about it. If you could see your future through Jesus' eyes, would it change your life? Would you be ready for service? What fears would you have to overcome? All the time I was doing this message, I was thinking about a song I'd wrote, I can't tell you how many years ago now. It's funny, you know, and amazing how God works in our lives and gives us different messages at different times. And we don't know how they're all gonna fit together. I had to write this song probably 20 years ago. Never truly understanding what it was all about until I wrote this message. And I titled it, Those Eyes. And I think if we see through Jesus' eyes, our future would be a whole lot different than that. As I drove down the street, I got a glimpse just then, old friend I'd see. Thought memories to life again, just like opening wide a portal into time. Those eyes, I let them pass by. Those eyes couldn't make a believer can alter the course of a life. Those eyes could open a window and in a ray of sunshine. Oh, why did I let them pass by? Friends for some years, we laughed and shed our fears. Trouble appear. Haven't spoken in all these years. So much pride inside. And the years blew the reasons why through our eyes. It'll let them pass by. Those eyes can make a believer can alter the course of a life. Those eyes could open a window, let even ray of sunshine. Oh, why did I let them pass by? Many years in these pews, we sit in God's presence new. The years not so few, we wonder what to do. Forget your foolish pride, take time to look inside through his eyes. Don't let him pass by. Those eyes can make a believer can alter the course of a life. Those eyes could open a window, let in a ray of sunshine. All these times, don't let him pass by.
see through his eyes.
If you could see through Jesus' eyes, would that change your life? Would you be ready to serve him? What fears would you have to overcome, and what priorities would you have to change? Those are scary questions. Jesus, he knew it. But we need to remember the words that we're memorizing today. We're going to live today. We're going to share today. And those words are, "Don't be afraid, little flock. For your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for what you have done for us, for what you have given to us, and to be certain that we know that you've been pleased to do that. Be with us. Help us today. Help those who are on the verge of missing the bus. Not to turn back, but to turn forward. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.